Good morning, Bethel Church. Great to have you in the house today. Thank you for all of you joining us online. Hey, can we thank the worship team and tech team for that opening worship? That was powerful. And thank you, Pastor Steve, for the reminder in communion. Today's teaching topic just ties in beautifully with the worship, with communion. And Jesus is teaching in Matthew 20, and that's what we're going to take a look at on the topic I love to talk about more than any other, and that's grace. So let me jump into the story, and we're going to talk about it as we go through it. So Jesus is teaching here, and he says, the kingdom of heaven. And I highlighted those words because so often we get confused because we're living in a real world, right? We're here, but we're citizens of heaven. And so God wants us to act a certain way, to live a certain way, but it doesn't look like the way the world lives. And so it's easy for us to follow the way of the world, to become like our culture. And Jesus is saying, no. Don't be discipled by your culture. Be discipled by your Savior. He's going to show us what grace living looks like. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. Now, I put that clock up there because we're not familiar with this idea, but in Jesus' day, you worked a day and you got a day's wage. I'm going to break it down differently in a bit, but you got a day's wage, and that was just understood. So you went to work, somebody would hire you, you would show up at a certain place, and landowners would come by and say, hey, I need so many workers. You'd go with them, and at the end of the day, they would give you the wage that was the normal, customary wage for that day. And so Jesus is telling that story. And typically, it's a 12-hour workday that you're looking at. So this guy's going out 6 a.m. and saying, hey, who's going to work for me today? And he brings a bunch of people back, and they're going to work 12 hours, and they're going to leave with a day's wage. Now watch. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. So the first group starts at 6 a.m. Second group starts at 9 a.m. And he's going to pay them whatever was right. Now remember, Jesus is talking about kingdom living here. So it's going to be a little different than what we're used to. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, why haven't you been working today? They replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. Now, let me just stop here, hit pause, and ask the question, what's just and fair? See, we live in a world that we love to do things fair. We want things to be just, right? So let's just keep it simple. And let's say we're going to work for 10 bucks an hour, and somebody hires you at 6 a.m. and says, hey, will you work for me, and you're going to get 120 bucks at the end of the day. So if somebody works 9 hours, they should get how much? 90 bucks, right? 10 bucks an hour. Jesus is showing us what heaven is like. And in so many ways, it's nothing like the world we experience here. That's what this story is all about. See, that evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. So in Jesus' day, you would work. You would get paid at the end of the day. People literally live day to day. So you worked a day. At the end of the day, you got called in, and you literally got handed cash, and you would have the money to do everything you needed to do that day and into the next day. And so he starts with the workers who started at 5 p.m., and according to our just and fair system, they should get 10 bucks. But again, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said he would pay them whatever is right. And in our world, we want it to be fair and just. Watch what Jesus says. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. Woo, they made out. They made out. So imagine this. You started at 6 a.m. I come in at 5 p.m., I work for an hour, and you see the boss hand me a day's wage. What are you thinking? Ooh, how much am I going to get? If Rob got a full day's wage for an hour's work, I worked 12 hours, I'm going to leave here with a boatload of cash. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." The owner answered, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous just because I'm kind to others?" In this story, who would you rather be? A 6 a.m. worker or 5 p.m. worker? 5 p.m. worker. And you see the point Jesus is making here? Hey, the agreement the owner made with the first crew hired at 6 a.m. is you're going to leave with a full day's wage. They agreed to it. That's the fair thing. At 5 p.m., he hires more people and he says, "I'll pay you what's right." See, we live in a world where when we celebrate communion and we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross," we struggle in understanding, how is that exchange possible? What do you mean Jesus died on the cross for me? What do you mean Jesus gave up his life for me? What do you mean that Jesus shed his blood so my sins could be forgiven? It isn't fair. You're right, it isn't fair. You know what it is? It's grace. It's grace. Jesus is all about grace. He's all about grace. See, God's grace is what? It's undeserved favor. Listen, let's just agree that none of us deserve God's favor. Let's just agree that we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not handsome enough, we're messed up, we hide stuff. Let's just agree to that. Let's just agree that we had a bad week this week, and God saw it all. God saw every last sin that I committed this week. He saw every last struggle that you engaged in and lost, and he still loves you. And he still invites you to communion. And he treats you with dignity. And you say, "Well, I don't deserve that." You're right. It's grace. It's grace. See, in the Old Testament, God shows himself, reveals himself as a God of law, judgment. When you stepped out of line in the Old Testament, man, you know, fire comes down from heaven, the ground opens up and swallows people. I mean, all this crazy nonsense happens, and people were fearful of the judgment that God was going to send their way, and they literally kept God at a distance. In the Old Testament, God would show up to speak to his people, and it was fire and lightning and thunder on top of the mountain, and the people were supposed to go up and meet with God. They were terrified of God. And they said to Moses, "Listen, we don't know what God's going to do to us up there. Why don't you go up and you tell us what God says when you come down?" People were terrified of God. And we look at that and we think that's the way God operates today. And we couldn't be more wrong. You know what changed all that? Little baby was born in a manger. I mean, how unconventional is that? So God sends his son, and in essence, is saying to the world, things are going to change. And where things really changed was the cross. What we celebrated today. Communion. And in the New Testament, because of Jesus on the cross, we get to experience grace and forgiveness and love. And we get to live with the reality that Jesus promises he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. How different a picture is that from the people in the Old Testament? And you know what? The cross changed everything. Do we deserve it? Nope. What is it? Grace? See, the wages of sin is death, but the what? Grace of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's grace. Some of you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Because you don't deserve it. And you say to yourself, "I'm such a terrible person." Well, listen, let's just agree. Okay, you are. God knows it. God knows I'm a terrible person. And he loves me anyway. You know why? Because of grace. Don't ask me to explain it. I can tell you what the Bible says, but it doesn't make sense to me. But it's kingdom of God stuff. God wants us to begin to understand, even though we don't live in a world that's made up of grace, you can't live in God's kingdom apart from grace. That's what it's all about. I put in parentheses there under the cross, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Paul literally says, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, or became my sin. Think about that. Think of the worst sin you have in your life, the most embarrassing moment you have, the struggle you have that you can't give up, something that you hide because it's so shameful to you. That sin. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, Jesus became that sin for you. For you. Jesus became my worst sin. And he stretched his arms out on the cross and said, Rob, I got you. You don't have to live in shame anymore. You don't have to live in condemnation anymore. Stop condemning yourself. That's what Jesus did. How do you explain that? It's grace. It's grace. Which is why the Bible says God saved you by his what? Grace, when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. Salvation's not a reward. It's a gift. That's what communion's about. Jesus gave us the gift of salvation. Not because any one of us deserves it. It's a gift. It's grace. Look at this. The high priest of ours, Jesus, who understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. Now, just stop and think about Jesus, who never sinned, but was tempted in every way that we're tempted. Think about your most private, your most shameful moments where you've given into temptation. Jesus, who never sinned, experienced every temptation represented in this room. He was tempted. And yet, didn't sin. So you would think Jesus, who experienced every temptation we do, and we give into it, and Jesus didn't, you would think Jesus would say, Rob, what is wrong with you, you loser? Why can't you be like me, right? It's like how we talk to Cowboy fans as Eagle fans. Like, what's wrong with you guys? You would think that's how Jesus would treat us. You would think Jesus would say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Really? You gave in again? You're a loser. Why do you call yourself a follower of mine when you keep messing up like this? That's what we would experience in this world, the real world we live in. But Jesus says, no, 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 I'm not talking about the world you live in. I'm talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus, who never sinned, but was experienced every temptation that we experience. So let's come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find what? Grace. Grace to help us when we need it most. You know when we need grace most? Right after we mess up the most. Have you noticed that in your life? Don't answer that. I've noticed that in my life. You know when I'm most shameful? Right after I mess up. You know when I feel the most unworthy? Right after I mess up. And you know what we tend to do after we mess up? We run. We run from God because we say, God doesn't want anything to do with me. I messed up again. And you know what the Bible's telling us to do? Run to God. When I mess up, I'm supposed to run to Jesus because Jesus loves me and is going to give me grace at the time I need it most. You want to know why more of us as followers of Jesus Christ do not live that fruitful life that Jesus talks about? Because we run away from God after we mess up. And God's saying, do you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross? He became your sin. He paid your price. Come to me after you mess up. I will give you the grace when you need it most. That's the beautiful thing about that verse. So here we go. We receive grace. We love to receive grace. And when we leave here today, my encouragement to all of us, all of you watching online, let's live like people of grace. Let's live like the grace people that we are, that God sees us as, and let's be different than so many of the people around us. And here's just some simple suggestions how we can live out the grace that we so freely accept from God. So how about we encourage each other? Have you noticed people in the world today are lacking encouragement? Have you noticed that? And Proverbs says that kind words bring life. So can I give you some, all of us, some simple suggestions? How about we just start by smiling more? When you're going home and someone cuts you off in traffic, smile. Smile. When you're in a store and someone just arbitrarily decides to cut in line in front of you, well, I got a response. Smile. Yeah, but Rob, that's not the way the world works. Exactly. You're right. That's the way the kingdom of heaven works. And we're supposed to bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. You know how we do that? How we act. How we live. So smile more. Say one good thing about her to everyone you interact with. One good thing. Oh, Pastor Rob, I couldn't do that. Sure you can. Have a great day. Thank you. Someone holds the door for you. Say, be blessed. Have a great day. That's it. Do you have any idea what that can do for people? Hold the door for others, smile and wish them a good day. You know how when you go to Wawa, everybody holds the door for everybody at Wawa, but nowhere else? Have you noticed that? Let's bring Wawa to the rest of the world. All right? Right? When you're at Wawa, people, oh, you know, they run to hold the door for you. How about if we just took the time to be grace people, gracious, and we held the door for other people? And as someone walks by, you don't have to preach at them. You don't have to quote scripture. You just say, have a great day. Be blessed. That's it. That's it. How about we overuse please and thank you? Have you sensed how the culture has gotten a bit more rude recently? Let's not become rude. Let's be gracious, grace-filled people. When someone hands you change at a store and they've never once made eye contact with you, thank you. Have a great day. It's grace. Would you like a bag with that? Please. Instead of, yeah. See, be grace-filled. Give or leave anonymous small gifts. You know, a coworker or someone at your school likes a certain chocolate or candy bar. Just get them one and leave it on their desk or leave it in their cubicle or just leave it for them. Don't make a big deal about it. Just be gracious. Be a grace tipper, not a real world tipper. This is going to push some of you too far. You go out to lunch and your server did not serve very well. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna show them when I leave their tip. Okay, instead of tipping them by what they deserve, tip them according to the grace that you've received from Jesus Christ. Yeah, but Rob, if I do that, It doesn't make any sense. Nobody knows about that. Your Father in heaven knows about that. He sees and he smiles. And he says, look at Rob doing something that no one else knows except me. Good for you, Rob. You put a smile on my face. You're living a grace-filled life. See, celebrate with those who are celebrating. Mourn with the mourners. When someone's happy, celebrate with them. When someone's down, it's okay to mourn with them. Speak kindly and gently to yourself. Too many of us are too cruel to ourselves. What is the self-speak that goes on in our minds? How many times a day do we call ourselves idiots or losers? Listen, you're a son or daughter of the King. God loves you so much, his son died for you. You're a masterpiece, is what the Bible says. Yeah, but Pastor Rob, I don't feel that way. Stop looking at yourself through the eyes of this world and start using the eyes of the kingdom of heaven and speak to yourself that way. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Ask for forgiveness. Greet and wave to your neighbors. Choose love instead of judgment. Choose empathy instead of ridicule and harsh words. Do you know the impact that just these little small suggestions would have? And God would use gracious acts to get the attention of people around you. And you haven't quoted a scripture verse. You haven't witnessed to them. But you've extended the grace that you've received to them. And God will use that to get their attention. That's what God does. Last verse. From Christ's fullness, from his overflow. So from the overflow of love and grace that Jesus has, it all comes spilling out to us. So from Christ's fullness, we've all received not just grace, it's grace upon grace. Woo, you know how much grace we've each received? It's not just grace. Paul doesn't, or John doesn't say, you've got grace. No, he says, you've got grace upon grace. You got grace and more grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's be people of grace. And God will use that to get the attention of the people who are far from him. And isn't that our mission here on earth? Go into all the world and make disciples. And one of the simplest ways we can do that is living a life of grace. I want to go back here. I skipped one. Send an encouraging text or note. My challenge to all of you today, pick three people, send an encouraging text. I love you. I think you're an awesome person. I'm praying for you. Just one phrase. Great job with that. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Because encouragers are gracious people. God encourages us all the time. Let's return that to other people and see what God does. Deal? Let's stand. Don't encourage any Cowboy fans, though. That's the only caveat. All right? Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for your grace in our lives. God, where would any of us be without it? Help us, Lord, to leave here determined to live.